We're in the middle of a series of the core values of Impact. And when the Lord highlighted this series to me a little more than a month ago, a couple months ago maybe, I started praying into it, thinking about it, looking at it, exploring it. It was a little more, just a little less than a year ago that we had Ruben Saravia, who's the papa of the Sozo House, speak to us. It was actually last April. I was saying last night, I was looking back in the schedule. I thought it was August. And no, it's not August. June. In fact, you know, when I'm at 58, time is going so fast. Where has the last year gone? That's all I can say. I cannot believe it was 50 weeks ago that Ruben shared with us. But as I was looking at this particular weekend in a heart to win the lost, the Lord just put in my heart that it was time to get the Mama Sozo House up to speak to us. So Janie, come on and share with us.
Thank you, David. Love you.
Love you too.
Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we are in the presence of a God of miracles. Amen. That worship was so awesome. And I kept telling myself, girls, slow down. You got to preach. Don't wear yourself out before you get up there. A heart to win the lost. First of all, I'd like to thank Pastor David for inviting me to share on something that's so precious and so dear to my heart. My name is Janie Saravia, and my husband Ruben is over there. We've been married for 30 years, and we have three daughters, Rhonda, Stephanie, and Christina. And we have three grandchildren, Noah, CJ, and Eden. And I've been a member of Impact since 2005. And for many years, my husband and I were both lost in a world of addiction. And we tried. We tried over and over trying to find a way out because we didn't like that life. It was just, everything that it bought was destruction to our lives and to our family. And we tried to find a way out, but we never could. We always ended up in the same mess. But it wasn't until one glorious day in May of 2000, we went into a home in San Antonio, and the Lord changed our life. Ruben had an encounter with the Lord at the altar. It was a big experience for him. And I don't know what the Lord was thinking, but he probably thought, man, this girl is hard-headed. I'm going to hit her. And Jehovah Sneaky came to visit me at night. And he came in at nighttime. And while I was sleeping, he did a heart transplant on me. He took out that, hallelujah, right? Thank you, Jesus. He took out that heart of stone, and he gave me a heart like his. And he gave me a new spirit, the Holy Spirit that came and lived inside of me. And it was God. It was God. I knew that from that moment, that God had changed my life. You know why? Because I didn't desire drugs. Every day for 28 years, I woke up in the morning and I thought, who am I going to lie to today? Who am I going to steal from today? Where am I going to leave my kids today so that I can go look for that fix? But God came into my life and there was no turning back. I love the Lord. And my heart and my husband's heart is to reach out to the lost. And we've been doing that. We have the awesome privilege of being mom and dad to this group over here of men and women called the Sozo Home. And it's awesome to see the miracles that God does with open hearts. You know, they come in and they're just like us, broken and lost, and the Lord breathes life into them, and we see them bloom and turn into new creations. So we have the best job ever. We just get to see them and what God can do every day. Amen. So when Pastor David asked me a couple of weeks if I would share I said, yes, yes, I will share. And then I went home and shared it with my husband. And I'm like, oh, my, what did I get myself into? I was like in shock. And I you know, the enemy comes and I'm like, no, I'm not listening to that. You know, I trust my pastor. And if God put it in his heart, I've got a word that God's going to give me to give to y'all. And so I started praying, and the Lord took me to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. It says it's about the Samaritan woman, but really it's about the soul winner, Jesus Christ. Amen. And in John 4:1, it says, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, and although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. And in verse 4, it says, now he had to go through Samaria. Now we know that Jesus didn't have to do anything. Amen? But we also know that Jesus always did his Father's will. Always. Always. Now, it says in the King James Version, it says he must need. And I'm like, must need, that doesn't make any sense. So I started studying and looking into it, and it says that it was necessary for Jesus to pass through Samaria. Now, the Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. They were enemies. They were the Jews despised the Samaritans. So it says that it was necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. So instead of going the common route, the route that the Jews took to avoid the Samaritan country, he went straight through it. And you know what really amazes me about Jesus? There was one lady that he was going to meet. There wasn't a whole bunch of people. He had a God appointment with one lady. And yet he went. Amen? Have you ever been going through your day and you're just doing what you do every day, and something inside of your heart, the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something different? Well, one day I was going to Walmart. I had just come out of Walmart. I was grocery shopping for my evening meal, and I was in a hurry because the homeboys, they get hangry, right? Amen. Y'all get hangry? So I was in a hurry and I wanted to get home, and I felt the Holy Spirit was saying for me to go another way. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm going to save some time and go out the back way. So I went out the back way, and I was going on to Loy Street, and I saw this lady, and she had two big bags, and she was carrying them. She was going like this. It was hot. It was in the middle of the summer, and it was like 100 degrees outside. And I passed her up, and I felt something say, go back and give her a ride. And I said, but Lord, I'm in a hurry. I got to get home, and I got to get supper because prayer's at 6. We got a schedule here. And I felt something say, go back and give her a ride. And I'm like, okay. So I turned my car around, and I said, okay, I'm going to turn around, but you know, she's not going to get in the car with me because I'm a complete stranger, and she's not going to get in the car with me. So I turned around and I rolled down the window, and I said, would you like a ride? And she's like, yes, yes. So this lady climbed in with me, and she started telling me that she had, and her husband and her 5 kids had just moved here, and that she was asking me about food, where she could get food and all that. And so I left her off at her house, and I went home, and I was telling my husband and the homeboys, and we all thought, man, let's get some groceries together and let's go take it to her. So we went over there, we took it to her, we loaded up the van, and we went over there, and we went in and invaded her house. The whole bunch of us, they probably thought, whoa, what happened? But they let us in. And when we went in, they were eating, and they were eating, but the kids were sitting on the floor because they didn't have any furniture. And so we went back, and we put it on Facebook, and told some friends. And before the end of the week, Sarah and her family had beds. They had table, dining room table with chairs. They had couches. They were set. But that was a God appointment. And sometimes God takes us out of our common route, what we're doing every day, to go and meet with that one person. Amen. And so let's get back to the Samaritan woman. And so it says that Jesus was tired when he reached Jacob's well, and he sat down. And in verse 7, it says, soon a Samaritan woman came. But it also says in verse 8, he was alone at the time because the disciples had to go into the village to buy some food. The homeboys had to make a Walmart run. Amen? I'm wondering if Jesus sent them on an errand because he knew that they were going to try to keep Jesus from talking to the Samaritan woman. He probably said, you know, y'all go to Walmart because I know that y'all are going to tell me that this is a woman. And in those days, the men did not talk to women out in public, you know. And she was a woman, she was a Samaritan, right? So Jesus was going to break a few rules. And this reminds me of sometimes when you're in the grocery store and somebody comes up to you and you start talking to them, H-E-B, and you start talking to them, everybody's trying to get by you and stuff, and they're telling you all their problems, and they say, pray for me, and I'm like, okay, well, let's pray right here. And they're like, here? You know, yeah, let's pray here, you know. And sometimes we have to break some rules. We have to do something that's uncomfortable, you know. But Jesus is always there. Amen. Now, this woman, the Bible doesn't tell her name, came to the well in the middle of the day. It wasn't in the cool of the day when all the other women came to get their water for the day. This was a very important time of the day because the women would go there. When they were going to get the water, they would walk and they would fellowship and they would talk and they would, you know, have all this girl time. And she didn't come at that time. She made that trip every day. After all, she did need water. She had to go get water, but it wasn't with the other women. She was alone, alone with her thoughts, sad and ashamed. That's what I'm thinking because I know this lady. I remember this lady. I remember when I used to be ashamed to be around people. I used to be ashamed to be run into people at H-E-B or at Walmart. And I would go at nighttime, like at 11 o'clock before they closed, so I wouldn't see anybody. I know this lady, but God. Little did she know that this day her life was about to change. Amen. Jesus started the conversation. He always initiates everything good, right? Amen. He is the beginning and the end. And they had a life-changing conversation. He asked a Samaritan woman for a drink, and she is blown away that he would even talk to her. There's times in my Christian walk that I'm surprised that Jesus talks to me. But in his grace and his mercy, he always does. In verse 10, it says, Jesus said, if you only knew the free gift from God. That was hard, so hard for me to understand because nothing in this world, in the world that I live, came from, nothing is free. So when they told me that the gift of salvation was free, it was just hard for me to understand. You know, and Jesus is telling her, if you only knew the free gift from God. And Jesus goes on to say, and who it is that you're asking, and who it is that is asking you for water, you would have asked me and he would have given it to you. It's just so simple. Jesus says, if you only knew who you were asking. Sometimes we have men and women that come into the home and they'll leave. Because we're too religious, or because it's too hard, or because they can't understand that it's that simple, you know. But And in my heart, that's how I feel. If you only knew, if you only knew who is here, if you only knew what God has in store for you, if you only knew that God has a plan for you and it's for good and not for disaster, if you only knew. So the Samaritan woman continues her conversation with Jesus. In verse 26, Jesus reveals himself to the Samaritan woman, and Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." In verse 28, it says, "All at once, the woman dropped her jar and ran off to her village and told everyone." She dropped everything. She dropped everything. "Forget about what I was here for. Let me go tell everybody what this man did for my life." She was running back to the very people that had made fun of her, the very people that had scorned her, the very people that she tried to avoid. She ran back to them because she had met the God of exchange. He had given her beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, garment of praise for her despair. Hallelujah. Jesus. He took it all, and she was filled with God's love. So she went back to the very people that she wanted to get away from. The heart of a soul winner is one that has an encounter with Jesus, whose heart overflows with love and gratitude, and you just can't contain it. It overflows. You have to share it. I have the awesome privilege of living with these guys, as I told you, me and my husband, and we go everywhere together. Amen? And our big time is on Friday nights. Right, Brian? On Friday nights, we go to Walmart, and we all go together. So if you see a van pull up at Walmart, a white van, and with a whole bunch of guys come out, it's us. So one night we went to Walmart, and when we got out, and there was a young man that was real high on meth, and he was jumping from table to table out there where on the side where they have the picnic tables. He was jumping, and the guys, of course, they ran over there and started to pray for him, you know, and they prayed for him. We went inside, and when they came out, one of them had bought the guy, because he didn't have shoes. All he had on was a pair of shorts. He didn't have shoes on. He didn't have a shirt on or anything. And when we came out, I didn't know, but one of the guys had bought him a pair of tennis shoes. And then one of the other guys took off his shirt and gave him his shirt. But that is the heart of somebody that has had an encounter with Jesus. You just want to share everything. You want to give everything. My husband and I know when one of the guys has gotten saved, because all of a sudden there's a smile on their face. All of a sudden he's getting along with the person that he couldn't stand. You know, all of a sudden there's hugs, and all of a sudden they're giving things away. There's evidence of a person that has gotten saved. Amen. So in verse 42, the Samaritan said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you told us, but we've heard him for ourselves and are convinced that he really is the true Savior of the world." Amen. Now the Samaritan woman had an encounter with Jesus, and she went and told the Samaritans, and they had an encounter with Jesus. Amen. So the heart of a soul winner makes disciples people. The heart of a soul winner disciples people to be followers of Jesus. Amen. We are not followers of men, but we are followers of Jesus. Matthew 4:19 says, "Then he came to them and he said, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" He says, "Follow me, follow Jesus. And I follow my example." Where do you get his examples? Right here in this manual right here. It gives you a lot of examples of how Jesus lived his life. Amen? So it says In 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, I planted the seed in your heart and Apollo watered it, but it was God who made it grow. The Bible says that some of us plant seeds. I go into the prisons and into the county jail and tell the women about Jesus. I tell them that they don't have to live like that, that there is a way out, and that it's free, it's easy, and he will change your life forever. Did you know that there's a whole big group of women at Impact that go into the county jails every week? Every week they go into the county jails. And we plant seeds. Most of the time we don't get to see the seeds grow, but that's okay because we did our part. It was back in the 90s when I was still lost in the world, and I was living by the First Baptist Church. And it was one Saturday afternoon, and someone knocked on the door. And before I could go check and see who it was, my daughter, Christina, opened the door. And I went to the door, and it was some people that were evangelizing. And I'm like, okay, well, I better go out there. So I went out there, and these men were there, and they talked to me, and they prayed for me. And I know that the presence of God was upon me that day, because I started crying and I started, you know, realizing that there was a need in my life, and that it possibly could be, possibly that's where I was at. I still wasn't there, but it could be Jesus. And these people, they prayed for me and they invited me to church. And I said yes, because I was feeling pretty good at the time. But the next morning when they came back, I wasn't feeling so good and I didn't answer the door. 20 years later, I'm at Impact, and I see a man and his wife, Buster, and his wife sitting down, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of that day when he came to the door with another man and planted those seeds. Amen. That's awesome. The Bible says that some of us waters the seeds. You know, there's a lot of people that can't go out and about, but they pray. There's a lot of people in this church that water the seeds by praying and interceding. Those of you that go to the home and do Bible studies, you're watering the seed. Those of you that are going out looking for treasures, you're watering their seeds. There's so many that in this church that are out there that are soul winners for Jesus. Amen. When I came to Impact in 2005, there was a group here called Street Life. And they were on fire for Jesus. They would all be here on Friday nights. That's when they had service. And Saturdays and Sundays. And we had a lot of weddings, because these kids all came in and they were living together. And they got saved. And then they wanted to be right with Jesus. So they were all wanted to get married. We had a lot of weddings, didn't we? We had a lot of weddings. So, there was a lot of people that sowed into their lives. Pastor David and Cindy and George and Sharon and the Barnetts. The Barnetts were a big part of Street Life. And last night, I taught a new beginners class here for them for about a year and a half. And last night, about 15 of them showed up to surprise me, because they heard that I was teaching, and oh, my heart was so blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It was awesome, awesome. And they've all gone their separate ways, but we planted seeds, and we watered them, and now we remember. God reminds me all the time that nothing that we do for God is in vain. And don't ever believe the lie that it's too late, that someone has gone too far in their disease, that someone has gone too far in their addiction. I grew up with a man. His name was Tony. And Tony spent most of his life in juvenile and prison. And it was one night I got a phone call from a girl, and she told me that Tony was in ICU here in the hospital, and that he was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. And she asked me if I would go with her to pray for Tony. And I said, yeah, I'll go with you. I haven't seen him in years. It had been years since I'd seen him. But I'll go with you. So we got up there, and the doctor was there, and he said, he probably won't make it through the night. So, and we were the only ones there. There was no family there. So Teresa and I prayed, and we prayed that God's will be done. You know, because we, you know, that's all we could pray. And then before we left, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, go and pray the sinner's prayer with him. And I'm like, okay. And so I told him, you know, Tony, and I whispered in his ear, and I said, Tony, if you hear me, say this prayer with me. And I prayed that prayer with him. And then we found out that God had resurrected Tony, and God gave him 3 more years. So it's never too late. So it's and you know what? Tony not only got better for 3 years, but he was also, man, he was a testimony. He came to church every time the doors were open. He only had one tooth left in his old mouth. But he had this contagious smile, and you could see Jesus all over him. And he would be out there greeting everybody. And he was a testimony for Jesus, and a testimony that it's never too late to witness to anybody. Amen. 1 Corinthians, once again, 1 Corinthians 3:6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Let us not forget that God is the one that gives the increase. When I came to Impact in 2005, I came from a church that was 95% Hispanic. And I remember the day that I walked in the front of the, when I walked in, we were in the small church back there. And I remember coming in, Kathleen was greeting her and Joe. And I was like, wow, I'm in the wrong church. There's a lot of white people here. But you know what? I learned that God's love has no color. No color. No color. And it was here that God grew me up. It was here where I've learned that I am a woman of God, and that he is a miracle maker. Amen. Amen. I look around and I see many, many hearts to win the lost. Our pastor and his wife, they have a huge heart for the lost. And I see people that go to the streets to minister. I see people that go treasure hunting for the lost. I see so many people. We are just surrounded with people that have a heart for the lost, and we are a church filled with hearts to win the lost. I want you to meet a few who were lost, and because someone was praying, because someone was out there witnessing, because someone told them about Jesus, they are here today.
Hi, my name is Robert Foley, and I was once dead in sin, but made alive in Christ.
Hallelujah.
My name is Robert Drury, and I thank God for Kerrville, for Impact, for Reuben and Janie, for being here right now. I thank him. Thank you, Jesus.
My name is Jacob Lerma. I was in bondage for a long time, but Jesus Christ broke every chain. Amen.
My name is Johnny, and when I came to the home, I was heartbroken, and Jesus healed my heart.
My name is Nathan Dutcher. I once was lost and broken, but Jesus Christ saved me.
Hallelujah.
And restored me.
My name is Jonathan. I was born into a broken family, but Christ restored me with the Soso Home family.
Hi, my name is Destiny. I was once lost, but I've been saved by grace.
Hallelujah. If you have anyone that's lost out there on drugs or just doesn't know Jesus, keep praying for them. Just keep praying for them. God is a faithful God. Now, the last thing I'd like to do before we close is there's in the back of the bulletin, this one right here, any of them, every week, it says, are you saved? And it's a question that God is asking today. If you can't answer this yes, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And those of you that do know the Lord, if you'd pray with us also. It says, repeat this prayer. Say, Jesus, I need to be born again. I do not want to keep from being in control of my life. Forgive me. I turn from my ways and I surrender to you. I choose to give myself to you. Come into my heart and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for saving me and for inviting me to walk in freedom with you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to pray with y'all. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to share this word today. I thank you for saving us and filling us with your love. I thank you for boldness, Lord, to go out and win more souls for you. I thank you, Father God, for God appointments. Open our eyes and our ears that we would see clearly and hear clearly the needs around us. Let our hearts continue to cry out, one more, Lord, one more, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.